Hey, what's up, family? It's Coach Josh, and welcome to another live Q&A. Hope y'all are doing exceptionally well. I'm glad to be before you today, and I look forward to serving you guys, enriching you, whether it's through my exegetical ability, whether it's through my expertise or my experience. I can't wait to see what the Holy Spirit or how he's going to use me to enrich your life. Before I get into the live Q&A, as everyone's getting in here live, and for those who join me for the very first time, my name is Joshua, also known as Coach Josh, and my goal is to help make sense of your life and to help you grow holistically for God's optimal use. So after watching, if you're like, man, I like this guy's vibe, go ahead and subscribe because I would love to be your coach here online. But I have a couple of scriptures that I want to read from my daily proverb, and I'm going to talk about rejection a little bit later. I was going to do that video 2 days ago, but I was just getting over a little cold there, but I will get to that video. But this two verses in Proverbs chapter 20 was so profound that I want to make sure I share with you all. The first verse that I'm going to read is Proverbs 20, 24, and then I'm going to read Proverbs 20, 21. So I'm going from the bottom to the top. Now, the first verse says this: a man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? Verse 24 says, a man or woman's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? Verse 21 kind of goes with it. Says, an inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed in the end. Let's break those two verses down. Let's now start with verse 21 and connect to 24. It says, an inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed. And so God knows the weight of blessings. Blessings are burdensome. People want to be blessed with a marriage. People want to be blessed with children. People want to be blessed with opportunity. They want to be blessed, but they're not a blessing. And God knows if I give you what is yours as being a joint heir with Christ, if I give what I have already ordained for you to receive in your life, that marriage, that opportunity, that amount of money, but I have yet to build you into the individual able to manage it, then I am going to endeavor, then I'm going to position you to be burdened, to position you to be broken. It says, an inheritance gained hastily. In the beginning, that means if God just says, man, go get it, go after it, you get it hastily without developing into the person you need to be, in the beginning will not be blessed in. God does not want things to pass. He wants things to last. That's why God hasn't given you certain things right away. God is not a hastily type God. God is a God that develops. God is a God that cultivates. God is a God that builds, because God understands that a blessing only had for one or for a few days, few weeks, or a few months is not going to be advertisable, if that's a word. God is looking for individuals with character, individuals with integrity, and you have to be built before you can have. See, so many of us, we want to have things, but my friend, we're not human havings, we're not human doings, we're human beings. The more you become the individual you need to be, the more attractive you become to unlock and release the things that God has for you. That's why God hasn't given you that X, Y, or Z thing already, because he knows that it will not be blessed at the end. I don't want my marriage to be a blessing in the beginning or look like it's blessed in the beginning, but it's not blessed at the end. That's why I'm glad we courted for 5 to 6 years. I'm glad that we went through the turbulences. I'm glad we went through the pruning and the pains early on in marriage. I'm so glad we did, because now that we're in year 6, now we can go and get year 6. Now we understand ourselves. That's why I'm so glad that God didn't bless us with the things that we wanted, the house that we wanted, the daughter that we wanted in year 1, year 2, year 3. Because he knew that if we're not a blessing, the blessing would become burdensome. If you're not a blessing, if I'm not a blessing, whatever's being blessed in our lives will be too heavy for us. It will be too burdensome. So inheritance, whatever God wants to give, because of what Christ paid, causing you to be a joint heir with him, causing you to be a son or daughter of his, an inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessing in. The goal is not to be first. The goal is to be last. The Bible says the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Why will the first be last? Because the first got there too quick. the last end up being last, and the last end up lasting because they was able to see how the others fared, how the others prepared or didn't. So you're right now in line looking at all these people getting quote unquote blessed, but the devil blesses too. The devil blesses based upon immaturity and insecurity. God blesses based upon his sovereignty and our maturity and his will. And so don't get upset when they get what they get. Don't get upset if it seems like that, if it seems like they got it too quick. Because just because they got it quick doesn't mean it's legit. You want to become legitimate so that you can be able to handle it. So when you understand verse 21, then you will begin to immerse and rehearse the verse of verse 24, which says, a man or woman's steps are from the Lord. I love that. How then can he understand his way? I wrote some points down before I get into this. It says, a man's steps are from the Lord. So this doesn't mean that God is literally forcing you. God just knows what circumstances, what situations, what experiences that will get you in step with his steps. Every man or woman's steps are ordered by the Lord. That whether it's ordered in this way or that way, whether it's for his glory or for someone else's story, he orders the steps. So when you as a man or a woman are stepping in life, you got to understand that God is ordering these steps, meaning that these steps are from him. You may think you're stepping in your own steps, but God's saying, even though you're stepping down your own path, I still ordered those steps. Because just because you're going in the wrong direction, there's a lot of experiences in that direction. There's a lot of clarity in that direction. So even though a lot of people backslide or turn away and go their own way, even those steps still glorify God. Even the dishonorable were created for his honorable use. Those individuals that do certain things. Yeah, your dad did what he did. Yes, your mom did what she did. Yeah, all that things happened. Not saying that God ordered their steps, but even their missteps cause you to be able to be in a position to step up with greater understanding, greater clarity, knowing that God said, you know what, no matter who misstepped in your life, no matter who stepped out of your life, no matter how many steps you took in a circle, if you understand that they are from me and you're willing to say, God, I see where you're stepping me. I see where you're taking me. Let me begin to trust you. That's why the Bible says in verse 24, how then can a man understand his way? That's so profound. Do you know how many steps I've taken that my watch didn't calculate that no matter, but you know how many people got those watches that carry steps, but people don't understand. If I would have told you that God would have had me step into the school systems, I wouldn't have believed you. I didn't know God ordered my steps into schools. I didn't know that God ordered my steps off of South Mint Street, where he knew that would put me in the best proximity for my wife to hear about me and for us to meet. I didn't know that I was going to be stepping in the name of love and stepping into love and now stepping with love. In love, I didn't know that God was going to order my steps back at the school that I'm working at now. I didn't know. I didn't understand that way. I didn't understand when God began to say, Josh, step away from Unplugged for right now. Step away from doing ministry like this. I didn't know. And it was scary, my friend. It was scary to watch the ministry that I did for 9 years. And seeing God saying, Josh, these steps in this ministry format is over. I'm calling you to step in another direction. Yo, I didn't understand it. But now as I've gotten older in the things of God and I better understand him, I say, God, I don't understand where we're going, but let's keep going. I don't understand what you have for me, but let's keep going. God, I may not understand where you have me stepping right now, but God, I trust you. Because if you truly understood what God was doing, then my friend, you would be like, whoa, I didn't know that you had these plans. And God loves surprise. He's a good father. What father doesn't want to have surprise birthdays or surprise events for his children? God doesn't want to tell you where he's taking you Because if he told you where he was taking you, my friend, some of us wouldn't like the path. And so I have some things that will help us how to better go down the way God is taking you. Whether you like it or not, God is leading your steps. He's not forcing your steps, but he's guiding your steps. The Bible says steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So that's good that God is forcing you away from the ways of death. But how to better go down the way God is taking? Number one, trust God has a way for you. First, you got to trust that God has a way. You have to trust that God has a way out of this for you. In order for you to better enjoy or to better flow with him as you go down this way with him, you first have to trust that God has a way. Right now, you may be in a position where it seems like there is no way. You're in a situation right now, you're like, man, God, I don't understand how I got here, and I cannot see the way out. Trust me, my friend, every ground soldier needs a sniper. A sniper has a higher view. God sits on the circle of the world, and he sees everyone's way. And God is saying, no matter how difficult it may be, you must, number one, trust that I have a way. Yeah, even if you got yourself in a situation, God is saying, even if you set yourself up negatively, I still have a way out. So you have to say, God, right now, God, I'm not going to complain about where I'm at. I'm not going to be burdened by where I'm at. I'm not going to be stressed about where I'm at. I'm going to rest in you and trust that you have a way. If you don't trust that God has a way, then you're not going to believe. If you don't believe, you're not going to receive. If you don't receive, you won't achieve. You have to believe to receive, and you have to receive in order to achieve. You have to believe that God has a way for your marriage, for your business, for your singleness, for your children. You have to believe in order to receive the joy you need, to receive the peace you need, to receive the hope you need, to receive the resilience you need, to receive the patience you need, to receive what you need. Because if you don't believe, you can't receive. And if you can't receive it, then you're not going to achieve it. Number two, you have to stay out the way. In order to better go down the way that God has for you, you have to stay out the way. You got to stay out your way. Some people stuck in their ways and they wonder why God ain't, they haven't really seen the way out. God is not going to push you down the way if you stuck in the way or stuck in your ways. So number two, stay out the way. Stay out the way by not being in sin. Stay out the way without talking negative. Stay out the way by not having bad associations. Stay out the way from focusing on you, S-T-A-Y. Stay out the way, what I say S was. Stay out the way. Can someone tell me what I said S was? Stay out the way by stop practicing sin, number one. Stay out the way by talking negatively. Stay out the way by bad association. Stay out the way of always focusing on you. Now you have to move out the way, number three. In order to go down the steps that God has, you have to move certain things out the way. You got to speak to that mountain and tell it to be removed and be placed in the sea. It's in the way. That mountain that you made from a molehill, that mountain of a situation that wasn't that big, you got to move it out the way mentally. A lot of us got mountains in our minds. A lot of us have mountains in our minds and they're in our way. A lot of us are like those horses and those elephants that were tied around a tree for weeks, months on end. And every time they try to yank away from that tree, even though they were physically not as strong as a tree, they became so mentally weak that when that same owner tied them to a plastic chair, because they were already mentally defeated, because they already saw something they was tied to as the size of a mountain, then when they actually are stronger than the situation perceived spiritually, they cannot move beyond. So what are those things in your mind you have to move out the way? Those bad thoughts, those individuals, those friendships, move them out the way. Number four, and I'm done, is change your ways. See, I don't want to be like the children of Israel. I don't want an 11-day trip to take 40 years. Think about that. That really happened. And back in the Bible days, they had 13 months. So think about that. An 11-day trip took 40 years. Think about the main highway in your city that has a loop. Imagine if you're trying to go to City B, but you getting off the exit, getting on the exit, go down 2 miles to get off that exit, come around, get back on the highway. And then imagine going on that loop for 40 years. How many of us should have been stepping in our promised lands, but we're steadily stepping around a mountain, steadily stepping around a cycle, steadily stepping around generational curses, steadily stepping around jokers that's laughing at us, jokers that's not but playing nothing but jokes on us. Like still 20 years, God said, man, you should have been stepping and shouting in and praising in and thriving in a place. I don't want to be in a situation where my promised land, I should have been in by now, but because I was still going around this same financial mountain, going around this same emotional mountain, going around this same mental mountain, going around this same physical mountain, going around this same spiritual mountain, going around this same mountain. How many of us right now could have been where we should have been if we would have just comprehend that God has a way? Today is the last day, my friend. Today is a day where you got to say, I'm getting out of my way. I'm moving things out of my way. I'm changing my ways. I'm changing the way I think. I'm changing the way I feel. I'm changing the way I read my word. I'm changing my ways. And I'm adopting the ways of God. So that now the steps that God has ordered for me is not steps of going around the same module, going around the same lessons. I'm tired of lessons. I'm ready for blessings. How many people can say amen with me? In the chat right now, type, how many of y'all raise your hand, shout about it, whatever you want to say. How many people are tired of lessons and are ready for blessings? Say me. You can scream it in your house right now. Say me. Then you got to step with God. I got to step with God. I wish God can show me my steps, my current steps and my predestined steps. God, I want us to repent. God, I'm tired of stepping around this mountain, God. I'm tired of stepping with this individual. I'm tired of stepping in these ways. God, I want to be where you want me to be right now. Because when you trust that God has a way and that you stay out the way and you move things out the way and you change your ways, then your steps get better. Now you're not going up rigorous mountains. You're not going down murky pathways. You're not stepping down through alleyways. And God doesn't have to order more steps in regards to pruning all the time and chastening all the time and stripping all the time and correcting all the time. Aren't we tired of that? Don't we want to become mature enough individuals that's able to reap the residuals? So where are you stepping now? Is God letting you step this way because he knows you got to learn a little bit more about this? That's right. Unique says steps get better. Here's another point. Some ways you don't have to go. There are certain ways God says there's some ways you don't have to go. How many of us got into relationships and we didn't have to go that way? How many of us picked our own jobs and picked our own degrees and stuff. And God was like, that wasn't the way. But if you want to go that way, I'll order some steps that way for you. Grace and mercy. I'll grace you down this path. I wrote here, many people are wasting time trying to understand the way God is taking them. Listen, don't waste your time trying to understand. Just trust that he has a plan. Some of us are trying to understand, where is he taking my marriage? Where is he taking my singleness? Where is he taking my business? Don't try to understand it, because you can't comprehend it. Because the more you try to understand where God is taking you, the more frustrated you become, the more upset you become, because his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And you think you're ready for marriage, but God says, I got to take you down the long route to clean things out. So would it be without a shadow of doubt that I brought you out? So those are two scripts I want to read. Verse 21, I got Old Faithful with me. This Bible been with me since 2009, 2008. This don't have no cover on it. It's one. It's Old Faithful. I'm going to start preaching out of my Old Faithful Bible. I don't preach so many messages out of this. Verse 1, an inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessing in. That's why God hasn't given you, because God likes blessings that stay blessings. 24, a man's steps are from the Lord. How then can a man understand his way? So let's get some questions so I can serve you all. I'm excited. I don't think I can show y'all's messages on this platform. I'll be back on my old platform pretty soon. So I'm going to read on the side here. I'm just on YouTube right now. I'm usually on YouTube and Facebook. But let me go ahead and share this to Facebook. So let me know where you guys watching from. I'm going to go ahead and share. Oh, I can share my screen? I didn't know that. Let me share this on Facebook. So I pray that message was a blessing to you. Hope you got something out of it live now. So I'm going to share that. Good to see everybody. Jazz says, you ever been in a position where you stand on God's word and for a long time you get spiritually attacked as if the enemy wants to steal your faith? How did you endure? Great question, family. Trust me, I have experienced this to the 10th degree. So let's talk about endurance. See, God wants us to endure hardship, because the hardships that we're going through right now are preparing us with the level of resiliency to be able to endure the next level. New levels, new devils. We've all played Mario. We all play games where there's a particular monster, a particular boss or whatnot, and you had to go through different levels and fight different types of devils or different types of bosses. And then at the end of the game, you get to, or each level, you get to a stronger boss. And each level, they teach you a little something about what you may expect at the next level. And so when you get to the next level, you begin to realize, oh, I used this in the last level. And now what I've used in the last level, what I'm learning on this level, is going to help me to defeat the boss at this level. People who are single don't understand the level of demonic activity and spiritual warfare that comes against marriage. You think what's coming against your singleness is something? You haven't experienced nothing yet, my friends. You haven't experienced the half of what you're going to have to face. So when you begin to understand levels and devils, then you will embrace these trials. You ever been in a position where you stand on God's word and for a long time you get spiritually attacked as if the enemy wants to steal? Yes, they want to steal your faith. But my friend, a lot of the devils that we're trying to cast out are actually our sparring partners. God is using the devils to level you up. And you're like, what's this thorn in my side? Why hasn't this thing been moved away from me? And God's like, no, man, this thing is here to strengthen you. This thing is here to develop you. So you have to keep standing on God's word. You have to understand faith is a verb. Faith is a muscle. Faith requires discipline. So let me tell you practically what I had to do to endure. Number one, I had to develop the right perspective on what it is that I'm being trained for. You have to have an eternal mindset. You have to understand that there's certain things that God wants to prepare you for. There are certain things that God is developing you for. There are certain things that you're going to have to face down the road, and that now you have to count all joy. So let me break down James chapter 1, verse 2. This verse helped me to endure. The Bible says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces patience. And when patience had its perfect work, you will be complete, whole, lacking in nothing." The goal is for you to be whole. The goal is for you to be complete. The goal is for you to be in awareness constantly that you lack nothing. The greatest threat against the demonic kingdom is an individual. Let me get more specific, is a believer who is completely aware that number one, excuse me, is a believer that has been made whole or prepared, who has been completed in Christ, number two, and who is completely aware that they lack nothing. That individual's danger. Now, in order for you to get to that place to defeat any devil, you got to have the right perspective. You got to know how to do spiritual mathematics. The Bible says, count it all joy. Joy is a perspective. Joy is a way of thinking. Joy stems from contentment. Joy stems from understanding. Joy stems from experience. Joy stems from perspective. And you have to literally take five steps back of your situation, count the circumstance, and find the joy. Number one, you have to count it all joy before you meet a trial. It's hard to find joy in the middle of a trial. You have to have the joy before you meet the trial. Now, watch trials. The Bible says when you meet trials of various kinds, an enduring mentality says, or one with an enduring mentality says, I have to go through different trials because various trials makes me versatile. Versatility is a gift, not a gift. Versatility is a skill. Adaptability is a skill. God is looking for versatility. So you have to endure various different types of trials so that you can last a while. So you got to, number one, count all joy before you meet a trial. First, you have to understand that various trials makes you versatile. So when you're going through another round of this, or you're going through a different version of that, you understand you need versatility in marriage, you need versatility in parenting, you need versatility in ministry, you need versatility in business, you need versatility on the job, you need versatility if you really want to see the kingdom of God advance through you. Then the Bible says, knowing this. So first you got to count, which is perspective as well. Number two, you got to know. You got to know that a faith that hasn't been tested is a faith that can't be trusted. So when you understand it, you be like, okay, bet. I have to know that my faith has to grow in this area. And number three, you have to let patience. You got to let it work. We've all had devices when our phones are updating, or when our PlayStations are updating. It says, if you turn off this console, you may destroy, or you may break the device or the processors in there. And you have to let patience have its perfect work, because I'm telling you something. Knowing how to do math, understand the versatility of trials, knowing that your faith has to be tested, and letting patience have its perfect work, all those things are required in the next level. Hope to help, family. For time's sake, I'm going to keep going. And for those who's watching right now, make sure you like the video, share it. Let's get this video out. Reacher High says, is it unwise to do business with a boyfriend slash girlfriend? What is the difference between doing it with a friend or someone of no relation? Great question. It is not wise to do business with a boyfriend or girlfriend. It's not wise. Why? Because why would you join in any regard if it hasn't been confirmed by God? The reason why it's unwise is because what happens if y'all break up? What happens if the things just don't work out? What happens if that person ain't the one God has for? What happens if that's not the business that God wants you to do? My wife and I, we didn't start doing business with each other until we were married. My wife was wise enough not to get too involved in my ministry. And when I was doing ministry with her, I didn't understand. Or while I was doing ministry and she was there, I was wondering why she didn't volunteer as much. And my naivete and my immaturity at that time, I was like, why doesn't she want to ingratiate herself in what I'm doing? Until years later, she told me the reason why I didn't want to get too involved with your ministry because it wasn't our ministry. It was yours, Josh. And if I pour into yours, I become poor. I'm giving her own bars. She said it differently, but I'm putting some words with it. So as I got more mature and when we got married, God opened the school systems. Then we started doing Propel together. Then we writing books together. We created cartoons together. Now we're coaching together. My wife just got released by God to start helping me coach now. So all those people, like you want to, if you want that support from both a male and female, sound biblical wisdom for singles and early married or couples, as well as my higher fulfillment coaching programs, my wife in the building now. But we didn't do business with each other until we understood who we were to each other and were married. But if you engage, you can come up with a business together. Excuse me, especially if you know it's confirmed by God. But that was wise on my wife's sake. She protected her heart. And so, my friend, if you're in a relationship right now, y'all want to do business, my friend, don't get off of cloud nine. Get my dating prep card game. Get my dating prep book. Like, get ready. The next book that I'm writing next, be prepared to get that, because that will shift your perspective on relationships and connecting with people prematurely. What is the difference between doing it with a friend or someone of no relation? Well, my friend, even you got to do business with someone that God tells you to do business with. That's the foundational principle. If God tells you to do business, that business will profit with that individual. But just because you're compatible, just because y'all got common interests, just because you can see cash flow coming through, everything must flow through the desk of God. And if God didn't say do it, don't do it. PTL says, could you help me understand more when it comes to getting blessed by God? It feels like I have to be almost perfect in regards to character to handle a blessing, which is discouraging. Great question, my friend. Let me add some balance to what I said. God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for preparedness. The reason why God hasn't blessed you in the way that you desire to be blessed is because he loves you. He loves you. Every blessing has a weight. I tell singles all the time, marriage is a blessing, but it's heavy. Especially I tell the men, oh, you want to be married? Great. Go for it. But you got to do some things before it, before you floor it and go for it, because that thing is heavy. Being a priest, being a provider, being a holistic protector and all those different things, my friend, that's a heavy responsibility. To be a wife to a man of God, to be a husband to a woman of God, to fight the demonic attacks against marriage internally, collectively, and from the outside world. I tell people all the time, man, marriage is a blessing. Business is a blessing. Making money is a blessing. All those things are a blessing. But my fam, before the time is stressing. So God is not looking for perfection. God is looking for the right perspective, the right type of practice, and his providential will. So to help you understand, when it comes to getting blessed by God, don't worry about getting blessed. He's already been a blessing. You have to shift your perspective on blessings. You are blessed right now. So many of us, we get so caught up on the big blessings that we don't see the little big blessings. The little blessings are bigger than the big blessings we think are big blessings. The fact that you're breathing is a blessing. The fact that God is keeping you from the blessing is a blessing. You're blessed. If God don't bless you with the house or with the spouse, if he don't bless you with nothing else, you're blessed. The hell is not on your cards. My students, my brother Coach Mel was preaching a powerful chapel message, and he mentioned about how we're in those last days. Like, we're in those days. And I had a couple of young men approached me after the chapel, and they was like, "Mr. Ezzy, what's the point of being motivated if at any given moment God can come? I'm 14, Mr. Ezzy. I'm 15, Mr. Ezzy. Like, how can I be inspired?" I said, "My friend, you have to understand that if you love anything more than God, you will end up being stuck here. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man or woman loves the world, the love of the Father that I am, for all that's in the world is lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life." I told them, I said, "Man, all of us will eventually be inconvenienced if God comes back in the next 5 years. You don't think I want to see my daughter at 16? Do you not think that I want to live to see my grandchildren? If God is to come back in the next 5 years, all of us will be inconvenienced. But it won't be an inconvenience when your excitement stems from seeing your maker." I told them, "Young boys, you gotta learn to love God more than anything, just in case. You gotta see that he is the blessed one, that he sent his blessed son so that you can be a blessed one. You're blessed." That's what liberated me, friend. I say, "You know what? I'm blessed. The thing about blessings is that you're blessed even when you don't deserve to be blessed. So the more you begin to understand that, you will then cultivate the right type of mentality. You'll cultivate the right type of belief, and then you will become attractive enough to bring the blessings. Blessings are looking for a certain type of song. Certain blessings are listening for a certain song. They love to hear, there's a certain song that our blessings have learned. I'm just metaphorically saying this. And it's the songs of praise. It's the songs of gratitude. It's the songs of worship. And those things become attracted to that in our lives. Because when you understand how blessed you are and you praise the blessed one, then you become a blessed one that's attractive enough to bring the blessings. Hope to help. Nubian says, first of two. "It's okay for me to continue listening to secular music from artists who may not follow God, as long as they have a song I enjoy that celebrates themes like marriage and love, even if their other music is on." Well, my friend, can bitter and sweet water come out the same stream? It is not about who sings, it's about the stream. It's about the influence, because when you become connected to anyone, you're going to be connected to all of their ones. So right now, I used to be naive, and I'm like, "Well, man, I can listen to one song," but then one led to their whole album. So it's not wise to do so, man. You have the liberty to do whatever you want, man. I'm not saying you're going to hell if you listen to secular music, but let me tell you the difference between music. There's secular music, there's satanic music, and then there's sanctified music. Sanctified music is music written by the Holy Spirit. If it ain't written by the Holy Spirit, don't go near it. That's why you have to have deeper discernment. Because even some of these worship teams, worship people, they're worshipers from hell. They twist scripture and they have you singing songs from hell. And I'm not going to call the names of these different things. You let the Holy Spirit tell you. But there's a lot of people whose their first album was solid, and then second albums and third albums became demonic. And so there's a lot of Christian artists, a lot of Christian rappers, Christian worship teams, and all that kind of stuff that are satanic. They're not sanctified. They're not set apart, right? The songs, whether it's from hip hop, no matter what genre, that's written by the Holy Spirit is sanctified. Secular music is not like what you're suggesting to a degree. Secular music is music like Happy Birthday. It's not sacred. Not sanctified. Sacred is my word. It's not all the way sacred, but I mean, it talks about God, worshiping God, or gives purity in about the things of God, right? Secular songs is just songs that are like Happy Birthday, stuff like that. Satanic songs are songs written by devils for devilish purposes. And even some satanic songs, they may not be outright satanic, but they're the okie dokes to get you to the satanic. They're the good songs. Remember back in the day when we used to listen to those rap albums, and every rap album had a Christian song on it, had some type of song for God on it? Could it be that was the type of song that gets some of the God's people to listen and to drag them deeper into the curses and spells? Just because there's no curse words, I mean, ain't no curse on it. So it takes deeper discernment. Realizing that you're in this world, but you're not of this world. They better understand that you have to put a lock on your ears and lock on your eye, because our souls are sponges, and you will soak in what you want to soak in. That's why we got to endeavor to be mature and grow. And I've been there, my friend. Jay-Z was my favorite artist, man. I used to listen to Jay-Z. I used to listen to, Jay-Z was mainly the main one. Who else I used to listen to? Oh, yeah, I used to listen to Nelly back when I was younger. Nelly, like, that was back in the early 2000s. But then I really, Kanye for sure early on. And Lauryn Hill was my favorite. But then I had to realize, man, I got to be careful with Lauryn too. No knock to where Lauren's at, but I do respect what Lauryn has done. So there are certain people that may not have the Christian title, but that they have that pure stream. So now I can purely stream, right? And so Lauryn Hill to this day is still my favorite artist, but I can't just keep dibbling, dabbling to all that kind of stuff. I got to keep my, so I don't be open to other things. So I respect music. Like music is amazing, but man, music, I mean, most theologians and most people consider Satan was the archangel over music. And no wonder music is so perverted to this day, because music is one of the most powerful things on the planet. You walk into Walmart right now, you walk into Target right now, and you hear a song, music has a way of hijacking you without your permission. Music, a song would jump into your head right now. I remember one time, we was having a 90s day at my school, and somebody came in looking like Nelly. I ain't listened to Nelly in almost 2 decades. But boom, I'm going down, down, baby, on the street in the rain. See what I'm saying? Boom, boom, baby. See what I'm saying? That is in me forever. You see what I'm saying? That's how music will be with you forever. It pops up, and next thing you know, you in St. Louis being a lunatic. So be careful, my friend. Because that's so true. Oh, I'm learning that even a wrong step, God can turn that for good. That's right. Christopher Ramsey, I'm in that position just like the children of Israel. I want to come out, but I don't know how to. I need help. My friend, I'm going to do a video on that. Let me spend some time with that. Spend some time with the Holy Spirit while I spend some time with them. And then I'm going to do a video on how to stop going around the same mountain. I want to labor on that with him for a while, so I can give you a 50-minute training or a message that helps you go from walking around that mountain straight to the promised land. Because I've experienced it. And I want to help you as well. Yep. Yes. Hooked and synced. That's right. You're so welcome, Nubian Soul Child. Well, that makes sense. I'm so glad, my friend. Oh, man, I skipped some questions. I'm sorry. Scroll down too fast. I scroll down way too fast. I'm sorry, y'all. Laker Nation says, let me buy your old faithful Bible you got. You willing to sell for 500? Maybe about 500,000. Nah, I can't sell that. I can't sell that one. That Bible's going into the casket with me. Or that Bible's going to go to my children. Yes, it's going to be on my YouTube channel. I'll make sure it's on there. That steps get better. Okay, I just want to make sure I didn't miss anybody. Okay, good. Now I'm back. Watching from YouTube. Yes, it's a bless. I'm glad, family. What's going on, KLJ? Strengthen of my faith. Amen. What are your thoughts on prayer shawls? Nah, man. I don't necessarily agree with that. I believe in prayer closet. I believe in praying wherever you are. I believe in praying without ceasing, but you don't need no shawl, my friend. Just my opinion. Using the devil to prepare for the next level. That's right. The attacks I'm getting in my singleness, unbelievable. I have to fast faith. Yeah. Because the devil, the enemy knows how blessed marriage is. And so he's going to war on that mind for sure. This is so true. Amen. Wow. And patience. Patience was on my spirit as well. Amen. Faith not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. That's right. I would love to hear from her. Yes. My wife, listen, my wife said she's here. Excuse me. She got the release. She got the release. And so we're working on some stuff for the next 2 or 3 weeks. We're going to be launching something very soon. But jump into the communities right now. If you're ready to be coached through a community, check out my LifeWork communities. I'll post that link right now. Give me 1 second. Excuse me. Whoops. And Unique's into my LifeWork community as well. I haven't been pushing it like I should, but I will be pushing it soon. So if you're ready to work on your singleness, work on your marriage, work on your relationship, just work on your life, check out LifeWork communities. I just posted a tab right there on YouTube right there. I would just pin the message. So join LifeWork today. Unique, if you want to, you can share what you've learned so far. She's been a part of 2 challenges. We do challenges every month. The first challenge on contentment. The second challenge is on authenticity. And so, and I've already, you know, she's been working, all that good stuff. Lady Latrell says, how do I or we as people not worry about inflation and keep focus on our purpose, knowing God will provide everything? My friend, I tell my students all the time, and my wife has heard me say this many times, I still believe that God hires ravens. When I read the Bible, I say, if you did it for Elijah, you can do it for Ejike and his whole family from here to Nigeria. Now, you still have ravens. Let me get more practical. My friend, once you begin to understand that you are just an ambassador, that this is not your home, that you're a pilgrim passing through, that what happens on earth should not affect the believer who is connected to heaven. When you are connected to heaven, knowing that God will supply all your needs according to riches and glory. Now, that supply may not be the supply that you want, but it's going to be supplied. That it doesn't matter. Listen, all of us are living witnesses to some degree that we had more month than we had money, but end up having money for the whole month. How many of us had more month than money that you ran out of money on day 21 and there was still 9 days left? And somehow, some way, the next month, you had the money for the rest of the month. I've been there where I'm like, my wife and early on in marriage, we're like, how do we get through this? How? How did we pay for all of this? How? How, Sway? How did God make a way, Sway? But he did. But the more you begin to understand that you are a king's kid, that he supplies, worry gets in the way. Worry begins to wear you out. Worry embarrasses you when God actually comes through. I've been embarrassed so many times because of worry, and God came through. I was like, God came through, and I worried about that? So let me do a video about that. Let me screenshot these questions because I want to make sure I teach you. This was more so encouragement, but I want to make sure that I teach this because that's what I love about Q&As. They show me what the people need, and then I go in and feed so I can then feed you. So let me work on that for you. You're so welcome. Make sure I didn't skip anybody because I got to go. God is extending his mercy. He is so long-suffering that he doesn't want it. That's right. He doesn't. Kayla says, is it possible your future spouse could be unsaved at this current moment? Anything's possible. I'm pretty sure that individual was unsaved at some point. But I'm pretty sure that God won't point him in your direction if he's not saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, like the old saints will say. So it's possible, for sure. But just know that God would not partner you with the unsaved individual. And y'all know each other currently. Is it possible? That's possible. Who am I to say that it's not possible? But God won't take the scale off your eyes to see if that individual is yours until. But I would not. Don't get into the guessing game trying to see if that, because that's a distraction of itself. Last two, and I got to go. Yo, coach, I'm taking a theology class, and they said it's a sin to sit and empty your mind. What's your opinion on that? I don't know what they mean by that. Is it a sin to sit and empty your mind? I don't know what they're saying, man. I don't understand that. But let me take a stab at it. To sit and empty your mind? I don't know, fam. I need some more clarity on that one. Yes, Lord God provided every time. I wrote a poem based on the elephant's mind bind. Oh, that's good. I'll be happy one day for you to share on. Yeah, man, send it to me. Oh, that person talking about meditation. You're so welcome, question research. They said it's a Middle Eastern practice. And you're talking about yoga and stuff? Yeah. That yoga and stuff like that have demonic origins for sure. But the Bible talks about meditating on the word. Like meditating on stuff that is, meditate on anything outside of the word will lead to sin. I can't say is sin, but could lead to sin. Thank you, family. So when you're talking about meditating on the word, we're talking about meditating on what the word of God says, meditating on like, there's nothing wrong with me meditating on my family's future. It may not be scriptural, but it's scriptural. It may not be scripture, but it's scriptural. You know what I'm saying? So it may not be scripture like I'm meditating on the scripture about my family's future. But me meditating on my family's future is scriptural. There's some scripture in there and there's some good to that. But I cannot make that my idol to the point where it distracts me. This attracts from me. So we cannot sit and not think about. No, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. No, there's nothing wrong with that. They're talking about the means by which you meditate. The means. Yoga and emptying your mind in environments that could be demonically influenced or infused. Hope they help. Yeah, it's just about the means. It's not good to empty your mind, rest, rejuvenate, think in demonic environments. That's why you got to watch what type of music you use while you're resting. Music that you use when you're thinking. The different tools and means you use, because that can really cause confusion. I got to go, y'all, to honor my wife. My time is up. Check out all my books, all that stuff on my website. Check out those communities. Get in now. My wife and I got some amazing things for you all. Amazon for the books, all that good stuff. Love you all. I'll catch y'all next time. Peace.